KJAN Sports.
It is time for Jacob Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In high school girls volleyball play last night in the Western Iowa Conference, it was Underwood sweeping three from Griswold. Tri-Center won three straight over Trainer. Missouri Valley a three-game sweep over AHSTW. And also IKM Manning winning three straight games from Audubon. In the Rolling Valley Conference, it was Cam three in a row over Charter Oak Ute. Bowyer Valley defeating West Harrison 3-1. Also, Glidden-Ralston downed Exira EHK. It was Carlisle defeating Coon Rapids Baird, Collins Maxwell Baxter over Coon Rapids Baird, and Dallas Center Grimes over Coon Rapids Baird. Those were all 2-0. In the Corner Conference last night, Stanton over South Page, 3 in a row. Fremont Mills swept 3 from Clarinda Academy. East Mills wins 3 straight over Heartland Christian, while Sydney defeated Weeping Water and Southern, both 2-0. Pride of Iowa action saw Nottoway Valley beat Pleasantville in 3 straight, and Central Decatur swept 3 straight from Lenox last night. In high school cross country last night, Greene County hosting a cross-country invitational up in Jefferson. In action in the girls' side first in Class AA, it was Ellie Mendlich of Denison and her teammate Reagan Anderson finishing 1 and 2 individually, while Dana Laura finished in 4th place for Denison. Creston's Brielle Baker was 6th overall in that race. In the team standings last night, it was Denison winning with 30 points, Winterset with 54 second, Algona, Creston, Nevada round out the top 5 in the girls' AA standings. In the girls' Class A event, Kate Crawford of Adair Casey Guthrie Center was the winner. Her teammate Emma Swanson was runner-up. Peyton Spohr of IKM Manning placed 3rd, with Panorana's Brianna Hoffman placing 4th. Also in the top 10, ACGC's Lauren Embleton, she was 7th. Emily Kopic of Exira EHK also placing 8th in that race last night. Team competition, the team standings in the girls' Class A division last evening saw Collins Maxwell Baxter with 40 points win it. Panorama with 99, the runner-up. West Marshall, ACGC, and Roland Story round out the top 5. On the boys' side, in the AA class ranking, AA class run, it was Malachi Hornbuckle of Nevada winning. Kemper Catholic's Ben Grody was the runner-up. Denison's David Salazar placing 3rd in that race last night. The team standings on the boys' AA side. Pages sticking together on me here this morning. Winterset was the team champion with 55 points. It was Denison with 70 points, the runner-up. Algona, Nevada, and Kemper Catholic, the top 5. Also in the boys' Class A division, it was Ogden's Andrew Stumbo winning the race. Also finishing in the top 10, Landon Foster of ACGC. He was 10th, just ahead of his teammate, Noah Nelson, who placed 11th overall. In the final team standings on the Class A boys' side, South Hamilton wins with 59 points. ACGC, the runner-up, with 70. Ogden, Panorama, Des Moines Christian, the top 5 teams. Now to football, where the Atlantic Trojans are gearing up for a homecoming tilt with the Denison Monarchs on the gridiron tonight. Atlantic struggled to get the offense going in a 7-3 loss to Shenandoah last week. And Trojan head coach Mike McDermott said they're going to shake things up a bit this week to try to get some more production.
Well, we've made a few personnel changes. We moved a couple guys out onto the perimeter trying to look for some big plays. We've also had to kind of reshuffle our offensive line. Our team leader, Zach Stork, went down with a couple shoulder injuries. I think he's pretty much done for the year. So we've had to shuffle some guys in there for him, both offensively and defensively. And then we've had a couple guys sick on the offensive line. So our offensive line has had, we've got about 3 out of the 5 that are in kind of some new positions. So hopefully at the end of the day here, we'll just be down Zach when those guys get back.
The Trojans will be working to get through those injuries and also will be dealing with a different atmosphere during a homecoming contest. Coach McDermott said his staff encourages the kids to participate in all of the school pride activities and to enjoy it, but he's been pleased with their focus on preparation when they've needed it this week. Coach McDermott said he's seen improvement from his team, but one goal this week is to finish drives when they get the chance.
Well, our goals this week, one of our goals is pressure. You know, their defense is going to put a lot of pressure as far as blitzing to our offense, and how do we handle that? So I'm anxious to see how our offensive line, even though there's some new guys in there, handle that as well as adversity. That was our second goal this week is, you know, when things go bad, you know, how are we going to react? And last week I was pleased, even though they scored on us, you know, our defense, you know, rose the occasion again and gave us again a couple more opportunities. So, and the third thing is, you know, we've got to finish. We got to finish some drives and, you know, when we get down the red zone, it's got to be go time.
Atlantic will host Denison at the Trojan Bowl tonight, kickoff 7:30. And that follows the freshman contest. Both those teams are 1-1 coming into the contest, with this being their first district game of the year. Also in 3A District 7, Carroll is at Glenwood. Harlan has a big early season tilt at Creston, while ADM will host Winterset. In 2A District 7 tonight, East Sac County is at Red Oak, Shenandoah at Kemper Catholic, Clarinda is at Underwood, South Central Calhoun at Southeast Valley. Class 1A District 7, Trainer at Logan Magnolia, IKM Manning will play at OABCIG. Missouri Valley is at ACGC, while Tri-Center will host AHSTW. In Class A District 7 play tonight, the Riverside Bulldogs travel to Griswold to face the Tigers in a matchup that we'll have for you here on the radio. Griswold is off to a 1-1 start to the season, while the Bulldogs are 0-2 to begin the year. The intensity may step up a notch this week, with games now in district play having an effect on every team's postseason hopes. Griswold coach Andy Everett said he feels like his team is a week behind, having missed their scrimmage to start the year due to lightning, but he thinks his team is ready to start improving this week.
And I think this week in practice, from what I've seen, we're getting some things figured out and hopefully make a jump offensively this week.
Coach Everett knows in order to keep up the offensive momentum from last week's win, the Tigers will have to get in the way of a big interior defensive line for Riverside.
They've got a couple of really big guys in the middle up front. One of them's a really talented player. They got some good linebackers, and so we're going to have to make sure we get those guys blocked.
Defensively, the Tigers have been led by senior Wyatt Robinette at the linebacker position, and Coach Everett said he has a chance to have a really special season.
I really need to put a plug out there for Wyatt Robinette. I really haven't seen anybody with a nose for the ball like he has, and to be able to take on a block and slip off the block and make the tackle like he does. He could very well, if the season goes like I think it will, he could very well end up being the all-time leader in tackle points here in the history of Griswold.
Well, Riverside head coach Mitch Rice is excited to get some players back in the mix this week that were injured earlier in the season.
You know, a young season ends up being a young team again. You know, battled through some injuries, you know, from the very first play of the season. We lost a kid for a few weeks, and he's been a huge part of our offense, so we had to make some adjustments. And, you know, I really thought those young kids that we had to put in there last week, you know, stepped up and we're ready to go once they got a full week of varsity practice underneath the belts. And really excited to see, you know, be able to mix the old and the young together now since we're getting most of those kids back.
Coach Rice says he sees much of the same with the Tigers this season as they have in years past, and knows they always present a tough challenge.
Like you always see, their pad level's lower than pretty much anybody they play. It doesn't matter. They get off the ball rather well, and they have some, you know, they're very fluid in the way that they run their offense as far as the double handoffs or the fake handoffs, and it makes it very difficult to defend. Coach Trevor does a nice job down there and with running that offense, and hopefully we're going to be able to figure it out this year.
Well, the Bulldogs did get some offense going last week against Tri-Center, and Coach Rice liked the spirited way his team competed and thinks they have what it takes to end their 11-game losing streak dating back to last season. We'll have coverage of that game, Bulldogs and the Tigers, tonight here on KJAN. Chris Parks and Mike Smith will have the broadcast for you. Our Pick'em show, Who's Gonna Win, airs at 6. The Dvorak Tire and Service pregame show at 6:30. Kickoff follows at 7 o'clock tonight in Griswold. That's in Class A District 7. Other Class A District 7 games tonight, St. Albert is at Nottoway Valley. Martinsdale St. Mary's at Southeast Warren, and Southwest Valley plays at Earlham. In 8-man action tonight from Class District 6, Bedford will host Mormon Trail, Stanton at home to Lamoni, Murray visits East Union. In District 7, East Mills is at Fremont Mills, Essex at Clarinda Academy, Exira EHK home to Sydney, and Cam will host Woodbine tonight. Also in District 8, Charter Oak Ute is at Arweva, Coon Rapids Bayard is at Audubon in a key early season matchup of teams that are ranked. River Valley is at Bowyer Valley. Glidden Ralston will host West Harrison tonight. Kirk Ferentz begins his latest rivalry week by signing a massive contract that should keep him at Iowa for life. Ferentz will try to end the week by showing the new guy, Iowa State coach Matt Campbell, why the Hawkeyes keep giving him so much money. Number 16 Iowa will host the Cyclones Saturday, a week after dominating Miami of Ohio 45-21. Though the Hawkeyes weren't perfect, especially in defending the run, the outcome was never in doubt. Iowa State's opener was all too familiar to beleaguered Cyclone fans. Fears that the Cyclones' inexperienced offensive line would stop them from running the ball effectively were realized in a 25-20 loss to Northern Iowa. Star back Mike Warren rushed for just 30 yards, and Iowa State's inability to sustain drives left its defense gassed in crunch time. We'll have that game for you tomorrow night here on the radio. 4:30 pregame show, 6:30 kickoff from Kinnick Stadium. Trustees at the University of Illinois have approved a contract with football coach Lovie Smith that will pay him at least $21 million over 6 years. They approved initial terms for Smith after he was hired in March that were backloaded to pay him $10 million in salary over his final 2 years. The contract now moves to $2 million of that money to earlier years in the contract. In addition to his salary, Smith is eligible for up to $8 million in bonuses. Well, the NFL kicked off its new season last night with Denver hosting Carolina in a rematch of the last Super Bowl. And just like last February, the Panthers still can't beat the Broncos. Denver's dominant defense came up big against Cam Newton again, and the Broncos escaped with a 21-20 victory. The Panthers looked like they could avenge their Super Bowl loss, but Graham Gano missed a 50-yard field goal with 4 seconds left. Trevor Siemian, Peyton Manning's successor, finished 18 of 26 for 178 yards, one TD, and two interceptions, and managed the game just well enough for the Broncos to continue their hex on the Panthers. Also in NFL news, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin has tweeted that the team will honor the country and the flag in a demonstration of unity prior to Sunday's season opener against Miami. Former Green Beret and one-time Seahawks long snapper Nate Boyer later tweeted that he had spoken with the Seahawks players about their plans and wrote, "What the team will do is a powerful sign of unification, plus respect for the anthem, plus those that fight for our freedom." Of course, Sunday is the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Minnesota quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has undergone surgery on his severely injured left knee. That surgery comes 9 days after Bridgewater went down in practice during a routine non-contact drill. Coach Mike Zimmer says Bridgewater's surgeon found no major problems beyond the knee dislocation and complete tear of the ACL. The Vikings said after the injury that Bridgewater also suffered other significant damage. The 23-year-old will miss this season and is not likely to be at full strength for the start of 2017. In baseball, Domingo Santana and Orlando Arcia hit back-to-back homers as the Milwaukee Brewers continued their recent road dominance, routing the St. Louis Cardinals 12-5 last night. Hernan Perez had 4 hits and 3 RBIs for the Brewers. Elsewhere in the National League, Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 4-1. It was Philadelphia over Washington 4-1. San Diego beat Colorado 14-1. In the American League, Cleveland over Houston 10-7. The Yankees beat Tampa Bay 5-4. Seattle 6-3 over Texas. That's a look at sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.